everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Tea with Lily. I'm your host, Lily Mensah-Yeboah, and joining me on the sofa today is Mike Ellis, the business advisor to business advisors. Mike, we've been trying to do this for a while. It's taking far too long, and I'm so glad that you've found the time to join me and talk to me. So how are you today?
I'm fine.
Is that it, Mike?
That's it, really. Fine, what more fine, can fine. I be? I'm fine, fine.
Great. Let's hear a little bit about the brand named Mike Ellis. Mike has been in business for over 40 years, right?
Yes.
Over 40 years, and helped well over 1,000 businesses along the way. And I think that's probably a conservative estimate. He asks the hard questions many advisors will shy away from. He's not interested in the flowery, fluffy stuff, but wants to know how you're going to make your business profitable. Otherwise, it's all a very nice story, and nice will not make you money. And that's Mike. Mike's speciality is supporting SMEs with funding and business development for growth. Now, Mike, how did a career in helping organisations and supporting them begin?
It began too many years ago when I took early retirement from the world of banking and finance in the era when it had integrity.
Okay.
And I was then encouraged by a colleague of mine to look at other ways I could use my past experience into working with people looking to start businesses, young businesses, and overall SMEs, in looking at how they operate, the way they operate, their financial structures, and looking at ways of helping them prepare to grow and expand their operations.
Okay, and that was several years ago.
That was quite a few years ago.
Please.
I suppose it's got to be going back now to the best part of 17, 18 years.
Mm, okay. And it's been said that you've helped over, you know, I mentioned earlier, you've helped over 1,000 businesses. Is that an exaggeration or...
Probably over that time. I would say it's not an exaggeration. It's a reasonable figure, but I have probably, shall we say, actually work with more than that.
Okay.
In purely on the basis where they've just wanted advice and guidance, and that is it. So it's part of the process before one can actually get involved in helping a business look at itself and develop itself, is you've got to really get to know what the business is, what it's about, who the people are.
Yes.
And sometimes, you know, just a simple session on advising and guiding can just set them on the way. They don't have to go through a due process thereafter.
But like I said earlier, you do ask the really hard questions, and sometimes I'm just scared of you, because you say, how are you going to make money? Where is the money? Show me the money. And I think most businesses need that. So the business advisor to business advisors is how your personal brand is perceived. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think it sounds rather grand, really, but I suppose over time, and particularly when I was involved with an organisation called Business Focus, which operated in Bromley in particular for many years.
I remember it well.
Part of my responsibility was obviously to recruit and develop advisors.
Yes.
And so I suppose apart from sort of being an advisor myself, then I sort of work with these people to help broaden their skills, their approach to clients, and so on.
Well, I'm one of the graduates of the Mike School of Business Advisors, I guess.
I suppose I have gone on and got, I'm what is known as a SFEDI, a Small Firms Enterprise Development Initiative, accredited advisor. I'm an accredited mentor. I'm a member of the Institute of Consulting, a member of the Chartered Management Institute.
Wow.
Need I go on? Oh, and also I'm a fellow of the Chartered Institute of Bankers.
fellow of the Chartered Institute of Bankers. So does
Which
that mean...
Now is the Institute of Finance.
Institute
in
of
my
Finance.
Day, it was a banker's.
So are you one of those people that will reject loans and stuff like that?
Absolutely. I was, yes.
One of those who would just look at the piece of paper and say, oh, they don't fit a certain criteria. And I mean, but lending is a really, really interesting concept.
Well, yes, and it's unfortunately that this is not something which is necessarily is trained in aspiring entrepreneurs. It's the things that you have to evolve and develop with them so that they develop sufficient business acumen in themselves to be able to identify what is and what isn't viable for their and sustainable for their business, really.
Okay. Thanks for that, Mike. So this is a fun question. We're having a fun one, Mike. I know you don't do fun very well, but this one you have to answer. Imagine you're sitting in front of the careers officer as a 16-year-old school leaver. Looking back, what would you have said you wanted to be back in the day?
Well, it's only like yesterday, really.
Of course.
Thinking when he's 16.
Can we say how many decades that is?
Well, as I said, it was almost like yesterday, really. So it's not all that long ago.
Okay.
I suppose if one is honest, in fact, I did see careers officers when I was that age. And we only had three came to my particular school. One was Army, one was Air Force, and one was Navy.
Okay.
And I'd already decided I would wish to have gone in the Navy. Royal Navy, that is, of course. And that was my intent. My intent was to stay on school for A-levels and then see to work an opportunity to go down to Dartmouth.
Okay.
Train as an officer.
Mm-hmm.
But things didn't work out that way because I had a wonky left eye, which would have stopped me doing what I wanted to do in the Navy. I could have become an exec officer, but that would have meant more time on land and not enough time at sea.
Okay.
And I just wanted to sail the world.
Sail the world.
So after that, it became banking and finance. Yeah. And I was told I couldn't go in the Navy. I was told I could go in the Army.
Okay.
But I thought I'd wait till I had to do national service.
Mm-hmm.
And then I could see if I wanted to turn that into a career. Because at the time when I was down at that age range, you could, as a national serviceman, actually then seek to go on to the Mons Officer School if you were the right calibre. So you could have transferred.
What is that?
It was an army. Okay. Army officers training thing.
Oh, okay.
It's the poor man Sanders, but don't tell anyone. It mind you, it doesn't exist anymore.
Oh, okay. Oh, thanks for that, Mike. This is Tea with Lily, and joining me on the sofa today is Mike Ellis, the business advisor to business advisors. What Mike doesn't know about funding for business, especially fledgling businesses, is probably not worth knowing. Now, Mike, let's talk specifically about funding for business. We've touched on your specialism as a business advisor and funding consultant. Can we hear how you do this, please?
Well, basically, it is all about meeting with the client and their business and looking at what they do, how they do it, why they do it.
Okay.
Sometimes you even ask, why are they doing it?
Why are they doing it?
But at the same time, in their minds, what is their future? What are they looking to achieve? What do they want to do with the business?
Yes.
And part of that is important then is to review the current financial structure, look how they're funding the operation, do they have the right terms and conditions of trade within the business, and then looking at what funding opportunities there could be.
Okay.
And one of the main criteria is that you do not fund a fixed asset purchase on short-term monies.
And what does that mean to the layperson, Mike?
Well, if you're going to buy plant and equipment, which has a long life, then you don't fund it through overdraft. You need to either, you always need not a business loan, or you look at alternatives which have certain tax advantages, such as leasing.
Okay, so...
So it's always looking at alternatives and that which fits the needs of the business in a much more specific manner.
Okay, so for the layperson, if you are looking to buy, a truck to do your business, you wouldn't do it on a short-term loan.
No. Now, you'd always look at some form of longer-term loan. Well, it depends what the vehicle's going to be used for, but if you look at the average life of a commercial vehicle that's on the road, you wouldn't sort of seek to fund that as something which could be clawed back and demand repayment from a bank in 12 months.
Okay.
You want to be a longer term, more relative to the life of the equipment.
Okay, that makes sense, Leasing, you know, give us some ideas of the things that one can lease.
Well, you can lease computers, you can even do office equipment, there's the vehicles, most of the aircraft fleets in the world are leased, as are aircraft engines. Most of the ships are leased, and so on. So there isn't much that you can't necessarily lease. It's really, has it got a life?
Yes.
And then does it have a resale value at some stage?
Okay.
So.
So as it stands, what would be the typical profile of your clients?
Well, as I said, it literally ranged these days from where I'm working with people who are looking to start businesses. Mm-hmm. So these are people who are either employed at the moment, but they wish to look at setting up their own business because they don't want to continue working for someone all the time. They want to try and run their own operation.
Okay.
And it's very much what sort of business ideas they've got and how practical and viable those are. Mm-hmm. A lot of women who are seeking to get back into the workforce, but have children at home, and they have so many hours per day they can sort of set aside, and these people are looking to start something now with a view that as the children get older and there's more free time for them, then they can develop this on further. Okay. And obviously existing operations who are looking to expand, grow and develop their operation, look at new market opportunities, look at new products to be launched or services to be launched, and so on. So it's across basically all sectors.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's no sort of limit to an area. Well, I must admit, fortunately, in this part of the world, we don't have many farms, because that might be a bit more difficult.
Why not?
To advise on agriculture.
Why not?
Well, it's something one has too much experience of when you're based in central London.
That is very true, Mike. That's very true. You never know. You might find yourself advising a very, a farmer with acres and acres of land who's just come to London for a visit. Yeah. But there you go. So, in your experience as an advisor, what would you say would be the three main challenges that businesses face, especially in the first 3 years of the life of the business?
Well, I suppose the basic one is funding.
Yes.
To help kickstart the business and also any to help grow it. It's also about their market. How sustainable is their market?
Yes.
Do they need to, you know, if they got a product or service which is going to last, or should they immediately start looking, how can we broaden out the market opportunities for us, and have we got to develop new products, new services? And I suppose the third one is people.
Okay.
With the appropriate skills, if you're going to start recruiting people, with the employment laws as they are today, it is like a minefield to a lot of SME businesses, you know, in employing people. And a lot of businesses obviously don't employ until they have generated, you know, sufficient business to justify those additional overhead costs. But it is always down to the question of the right people for the right environment.
Yeah. Can you, after so many years of being in business, can you see a client or a potential client and in the first 20 minutes or maybe half an hour of interviewing them, think perhaps they're not, either the idea is not good or they're not the right type of sort of entrepreneur, they haven't got that killer instinct in order to make it work, for want of a better expression?
Well, I don't know. Sometimes maybe business is a cutthroat environment, and maybe one could argue that everyone has to have a degree of that killer instinct in them to survive and to develop.
Yeah.
But I think you can. I think anybody who you see should be able to give you a very good resume of their business, you know, mm-hmm. who they are, what they are, what they do, who they do it for, where are they doing it from, and how they themselves see the potential for what they're doing in the future, and things like that. And really, if you can't do that, then it does mean you need, there's a lot more questioning got to go on.
And you can do, you can find out in the first half of that.
I think you can. To me, it's very much like if you were doing an interview.
Yes.
If you're interviewing a person for a position, it's the first 30 seconds to me.
Yes, yes, yes.
If the people can come to you, you can tell in that short space of time if they are going to be a person who you think could make it. And the same with a business. You know, the people should be able to sell their business to you in a short space of time.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Mike. This is Tea with Lily, and joining me on the sofa today is Mike Ellis, the business advisor to business advisors. What Mike doesn't know about funding for business, especially fledgling businesses, is probably not worth knowing. So, Mike Ellis, it can't all be work, work, work. What do you do for fun? Or shall I say, what's your guilty pleasure?
Oh, my guilty pleasures, I suppose, really centre around quality wines.
Quality wines? Oh, they're weak.
And apart from quality wines, it's decent ale.
Decent ale.
Yes. Accompanied by good food.
Good food.
But I do enjoy gym. I go to the gym 4 times a week for about an hour a time to have a decent workout to try and keep my body and soul together. Am I allowed to say that? I've said it. I do have a hobby, and my hobby is military history.
Okay.
I only completed my history degree a few years ago.
Congratulations.
I had to prove to my family that even though I'm slightly older than they are, I can still do it. But no, I do military history quite extensively, do quite a bit of research, do a lot of field trips to, particularly in and around Europe, to some of the, shall we say, more historic battle sites, and also from the First and Second World War, because I, you know, it also follows the family, because the family were in both. So I tend to follow where they've tread.
Yeah.
So it's an interest.
Is it all to do with the initial thing of you not being able to get into the Navy and still, you know, that thing is still there for you?
No, I don't think so. I think it's something that came out. I've always enjoyed history, because to me, if you don't believe in history, then you're ignoring your past, and it's your past which sets your future.
Yes, that's very true.
And I think if we care to go back and look at our history, in particular in this country, and if certain people in certain areas have watched it, then we didn't learn. We didn't learn when Marlborough had to take the French on.
Okay.
In the 18th century. We didn't learn when we had the same problem, when Wellington and others had to deal with things. Again, Europe. And then the Second World War came out of the First World War because of the Treaty of Versailles.
Mm.
I don't know what I said, but that, to me, there were so many weaknesses in that, there was bound to be a reaction.
Okay.
And we paid the penalty.
Indeed.
People didn't follow history.
Indeed. We tend to forget very quickly, and maybe that's also something that as human beings may be a good thing, but may not always be a good thing. So most of us support charities, Mike, often for personal reasons. Which charities do you support and why?
Well, I suppose my main support goes, really, again, we come back to, I suppose, my interest in military history. I support the Gurkha Welfare Settlement Trust quite extensively. One shouldn't brag about it, but I actually sponsor a Gurkha pensioner, because I think these people have come from distant hills and they've served us loyally for 200 years, and I think we owe them something.
Yes, indeed.
And I just support other service charities within the UK. I leave my wife to do the other charities to support, but I just concentrate on anything allied to our service people.
Service, our servicemen, our heroes. Yeah, heroes and sheroes. So that's very noble of you, Mark. How can our listeners find out some more about you and what you do in terms of helping with funding for business?
There is an email address which I give you, which I'm sure you can be able to, I'll give you that, and etc. And I think one of the key things at the moment for people, particularly looking to start a business or businesses up to 12 months on, is that I am working with Prospects, based here in Bromley, who are a provider of the government-funded startup loan.
Startup loan project. Okay.
And it is there to provide some finance to help businesses which obviously we are satisfied have that potential to be viable and as sound ideas, some kickstart funding.
Yes.
And so they can contact me, and I'm quite happy then to arrange a meeting with them or one of my colleagues.
Okay.
So that we can go through what their plans are.
Okay. Are there any more tips or suggestions for our listeners in keeping, helping to keep a healthy business afloat?
Well, unfortunately, I think a lot of people at times when they start something, they lose sight of the fact to make it work, it is really 24/7 times 365 for a few years.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of battles on your hands. So whatever you do, you must maintain cash flow.
Cash flow.
Cash flow is, I'm not sure whether one should say this with a, when we have a queen on the throne, but cash flow is still the king of all business.
Okay.
The second is that they must have resilience because there are lots of knocks on the way of developing anything.
Yes.
But you can't afford to be knocked back. You've got to fight and show you've got the resilience to go on and forward.
Okay.
And I suppose thirdly is family, really, is that the family are supportive in what you want to do. Because it can be a great detractor if, you know, everything is dependent on you running your own business, generating the income for the family. Then, you know, you do need that support.
Okay.
You know, from the family in going forward.
Okay, so the top three things for you is cash flow must be king. You have to have some resilience, and you have to have a good family. You have to have good family support.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, wise words from a wise man. Mike, thank you so much. You've been very, very generous with your time, and I hope you'll come back again and join me on the sofa and have more tea with me, Mr. Mike Ellis. Thank you.